have before me here 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put forth to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. This one chapter alone, there's a lot for us to do, isn't there? There's so many good teachings, so many good words in there that can lift us up and encourage us and keep us upon the narrow path of life. He started out by saying, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. These are some of the things he said you want to put away. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, we can't grow if we don't feed upon the right things. If we feed on the worldly things, and we're so involved in it today, you know, it's quite a, I had to think when we were young and growing up in our little community, most of the people were farmers. There weren't too many businessmen, a few of them, but most were on the farms, and we had our families, and we ate three meals together. Breakfast, we were hungry because we had to go out and do chores in the morning for 2 or 3 hours. Come in, we were very hungry, and then we'd go out the forenoon and work again, and come in at noon, and come in at night, and we'd sit around and talk as a family. And because of the change in things that have taken place, during that time I had to think, we even would, in our grade school, if our dad needed help at home, we could ask the teacher the day before, "My dad needs help planting corn. Would you mind if I stayed home?" No, they didn't mind that at all. They thought that was good. Today we can't get by with that sort of thing. Everything is so structured and so planned by the school boards and the government and all of this that we're kind of have to fit into that. And consequently, we're living with the world, but we don't want to be of the world. And that's hard to do, isn't it? We're living in them. We have to stand apart. We have to stand as a true believer. I remember years ago when I traveled quite a bit, flew across different places in the country setting up distribution for a company. And when I would come to these little cities, I'd fly in, and these men most generally were guys that went to the bar and they'd drink, and they were a rough crowd. And so I had to set some standards immediately. It was my duty to set up distribution and train them and all that sort of thing, but I couldn't be a part of their life. So what I would tell them, I'd say, if you guys insist on doing that, you go ahead, I'm not going to be a part of it. They'd want to go drink and sit in a bar for an hour before dinner. I said, I'll go to my room and read. When you get ready to eat, you knock on my door and I'll eat dinner with you. But I had to set that kind of a pattern immediately to let them know where in the world I stood about things. I said, I serve God and I want to do what's right in the sight of God. And I think it's the only way we can do it today. We can't go little by little and take on some of those things, living like they live, and they expect to be a true believer. I know some of the young converts today, there's a tendency when they repent to maybe want to be with their old friends. I've seen this happen in a few cases. They still want to be with their old friends that haven't made a change. And I always tell them, if you spend a lot of time with them, you're going to become more like them than they're going to become like you. First of all, you're outnumbered. Now, one-on-one basis, you can maybe teach them and you can do some explaining, you can do some missionary work, but you better not be outnumbered or you're going to become more like them because you want to fit in. And we don't fit. He said we're a peculiar people, didn't he? The Apostle Peter said you're a peculiar people. That means a sanctified people, a set-apart people. We're not like the world. There should be a separation. Today, the world in general is promoting unity and tolerance for the sake of truth. They all should love one another. That fits right into the World Council of Churches and the ecumenical movement that's going on today, where they want one world church. They want everybody to fit into that. So the only way you can do it is to say, look over their differences. We don't want to talk about the differences. We only want to talk about the few things that we can agree upon, and that is love and tolerance. We tolerate anything, and we love everybody. But that won't take us to heaven. That'll never take us to heaven. We've got to be different. We've got to be set apart. There has to be a distinction, just like he said here. He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, and ye may grow thereby. The sincere milk of the word is looking into the scripture, whatever it says, and that we must do. And we must always go into the scripture not with preconceived ideas as to what we think is right. That means nothing. We must go into the scripture open-minded, accepting what the word says. And be careful about saying, the Lord told me to do this, or the Lord told me to go there, or the Lord told me to do this. Unless the Spirit agrees with the Word, it might be our own will instead of the will of the Lord. Be careful about that. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He said, you are also lively stones built on a spiritual house. This is how we grow, building on the things that are spiritual, the things that are right. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And we found that so, didn't we? We found that so when we went to the Savior, when we finally fell on our knees and confessed our sins and were sorry, really sorry for them. Sorry for the things that we have disobeyed God with. When we have that kind of a conviction and that kind of a feeling within, then we can go to bed at night and have a restful sleep rather than have an annoying, am I doing right, am I not? If we stay close to the Word, we won't have that problem. He said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, the people didn't recognize Jesus. You know, I relate and compare today the nominal church. What I'm talking about, the nominal church, is the one in name only, and there's many of them, and it's very popular to be a Christian today. All of them talk about it. No matter who they are, they want to discuss it, and it's kind of popular. In our day, you didn't hear that much about it. They just lived good lives, and that was about it. But it's changing. It's changing today. He said, I like to compare the nominal church today, the ones that are name only, and there are many of them. And I shouldn't say the church itself, I said the people that are worshiping there. I believe in my heart that in all of these churches, probably there's some true believers that look into the Word. I'm not trying to distinguish and point out some church that's totally wrong. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying the people have a nature for wanting to something that is easy to live by. But again, I'll go back to that. Comparing the nominal church today, I compare to the Jews of old. The Jews of old read in the Bible, and it was read to them that they were to expect a Savior. They were expecting Jesus Christ, the Savior, to come, but they were expecting him to come with power and force and great glory so they could rule. And after all those years, when he did come, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him because they were so entrenched in sin and in their own rules that they had made up that they didn't believe him. They didn't believe it was him. And it's the same thing that's happening today. But he said, and he's giving us some encouragement here, he says, but you're a chosen generation. And that's another thing I hear today so much that you hear it. Have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ? I think he has to choose us. We need to turn that around a little bit. I think even the devil accepts Christ that he was Christ. He agrees that he's Christ. And that's easy to do. But it's when Christ chooses us that counts. When he says, you're my chosen generation, you're the royal priesthood, I've accepted you because you're living according to my word. He said, you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, and he's talking about the Gentiles now. He called his own people, the Jews, a stubborn and a stiff-necked people many, many times because they wouldn't obey. And they, when they would be in the pits of totally being destroyed, they would finally say, well, now we'll serve you, Lord, if you'll just help us out. And he'd help them out and start them on their way again, and finally they start taking up the things of the world. And it's so easy to do, isn't it? We have to combat that. But he said, then I'm going to take on which in time past were not a people, but he's talking about the Gentiles, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, whereof they speak evil of you as evildoers, that you may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. I'm going to stop there. I want one of the other brothers to speak a little. I don't want to take up all the time. But beloved, Let's stay true. Let's know what the Bible says. Don't take man at his word. I taught Sunday school for many, many years. And once the kids were to the age where they knew, I didn't say this to little bitty children when I started, but once we got into the 7th and 8th and on up into high school and an adult class, I always told the kids, I said, don't you believe me because I'm saying this. I'm your teacher. And if you believe me, I said, you're going to believe every professor in college, you're going to believe everybody that comes up and down the road that has a way with words, and you're going to be misled. I want you to go home and read what we've read today, and I want you to see it for yourself and read it for yourself so that you know it's the truth from the Bible. And if you see where I'm in error, I want you to come back next Sunday and tell me. Because I could be. I'm a man. Have you ever noticed that all the churches, the cults today, are all headed up by a man that supersedes Christ? A man come along that had a new doctrine and he changed the Bible and the people follow them. You can't follow the man. That's one wonderful thing we have about the Apostolic Christian Church. We have many ministers on the pulpit. And they aren't paid. They don't owe anybody anything. And it behooves them to always preach the truth.